Good afternoon. From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. The Juneau Assembly unanimously passed a resolution on Monday in support of keeping the Mendenhall Glacier Recreation Area federally owned. It also urges the U.S. Forest Service to rehire recently fired workers there. City officials said earlier this month that Alaska Republican U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski specifically asked for the resolution after hearing that private entities were interested in taking it over. Kelby Randall, a glacier guide and student at the University of Alaska Southeast, testified in support of the resolution at the meeting. Randall referenced the photo of the Mendenhall Glacier that hangs on the wall of the Assembly Chambers.
When considering a non-public glacier recreation area, I feel the weight of the mural behind you. It is more than just a landscape. It is a defining feature of the land and the people who reside on and around it. For these reasons, I support this resolution.
The Mendenhall Glacier is one of Alaska's most visited tourist attractions, with more than 1 million visitors last year. It's managed by the U.S. Forest Service and co-stewarded with the Central Council of the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska. The Assembly's resolution comes as some congressional Republicans in other states consider selling off federal lands to pay for President Donald Trump's domestic agenda. Earlier this month, U.S. House Republicans approved an amendment authorizing the sale of federal public land in Nevada and Utah. Randall, while testifying, pointed the Assembly to the Matanuska Glacier, northeast of Anchorage. While the glacier itself is public, most visitors can only reach it through private land or tours.
Private stewardship would put this area at the same risk that has been seen at the Matanuska. It would paywall this uniquely accessible glacier, and hearing that it was even an option shocked and appalled me.
The Trump administration's mass federal firings left the glacier's visitor center to lose most of its staff, and Forest Service staff from other departments are maintaining summer operations. The Assembly approved a separate ordinance at the same meeting, setting aside $200,000 to support staffing at the glacier if needed. The City and Borough of Juneau may step in to fund positions at the Mendenhall Glacier Recreation Area formerly held by federal workers. The heavily trafficked attraction is operating with a reduced staff after federal firings, but has a higher volume of tourists and bears on the horizon. The Juneau Assembly on Monday approved spending up to $200,000 to hire support staff for the Mendenhall Glacier Recreation Area after federal firings left few Forest Service staff on duty. The Mendenhall Glacier saw about 1 million visitors last year. The funding would go to organizations that already operate at the glacier so they could hire more staff. Those include education nonprofit Discovery Southeast and tribal government Tlingit and Haida, which has a co-stewardship agreement with the Forest Service. Sean Isley directs Discovery Southeast, which brings nature and science education programs to Juneau schools and at camps for kids. He said setting the funding aside is a common sense move.
I think it gives us a lot more tools. So, I see Discovery Southeast and Tlingit and Haida both being in a position where we can bring on some folks that can ensure some of the basic stuff that people expect to see out there, particularly related to safety.
The worker shortage is a result of national policy changes. In February, the Trump administration cut thousands of workers in the U.S. Forest Service, including most of the staff at the Mendenhall Glacier. Some were rehired after courts challenged the firings, but some have taken a resignation option since. The Forest Service released a plan in April that reduced the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center hours and said a handful of Forest Service staff from other offices and departments would staff the recreation area. Goosk Ralph Wolf directs Tlingit and Haida's Cultural Ambassadors Program. Cultural ambassadors are tribal members who staff the recreation area to teach visitors about Indigenous history, language, and culture. Wolf says between the assigned Forest Service staff, Discovery Southeast employees, and the six cultural ambassadors, things at the glacier haven't been out of control yet. But he's expecting more people and other challenges.
We have been able to cover the basic necessities that are out there right now. However, there is still like the anticipation of higher bear activity once the summer really starts going and more people.
Wolf says the tribe is already working to boost the number to 10 ambassadors at the glacier. He says more staffing would help ensure the safety of people using the area. The first bear sighting was 2 weeks ago, Wolf says, and it took half the staff at the glacier that day to direct tourism traffic away from the bear and give it room to get away from the trail.
My essential concern is I need somebody out there for bear and trail control. And I don't think we're seeing either of those happen too much right now.
The ordinance passed 6-3. Ella Adkisson voted against the ordinance and expressed concerns about all of the areas of the Juneau community that may need support as federal funding cuts continue.
There will be a lot of worthy causes, I think, that will come up short on funding, and this assembly will not be able to support them.
The assembly is considering budgeting extra money for Juneau's library system to make up for lost federal grants. The money intended for staffing the glacier comes from marine passenger fees. There are no plans to hire just yet. The city manager will decide if more staff is needed if either organization says safety issues are arising at the glacier. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. The Juneau Assembly unanimously approved a change earlier this week for how much the city charges large cruise ships to dock at city-owned facilities. As KTOO's Clarice Larson reports, the approval will equate to millions of dollars in extra revenue starting next season.
Cruise lines will have to start paying about double what they're currently paying when they dock at either of the city's cruise ship facilities beginning in 2026. Juneau's visitor industry director Alex Pierce says the regulation changes make the city's dockage fees more competitive with the private sector in Juneau and others in Southeast Alaska.
We know that our rates are definitely low compared to the private docks here. And then, you know, as other ports in the region are also looking at their fee structure, it was an appropriate time to look at ours and raise ours.
The rate change isn't exactly apples to apples. The current dockage fees use tonnage and lineal feet of vessels to calculate how much cruise ships pay. The new rates will be based on the cruise ship's passenger capacity. Pierce says that's expected to double the amount that cruise ships pay. Last season, Juneau took in about $2.5 million in dockage fees, and this season will likely yield a similar amount. That means next season, the rates could bring in close to $5 million. The city owns two of the four cruise ship docks in Juneau. They're the ones closest to Marine Park. The Juneau Assembly just approved the development of another private dock, too. Pierce says while she doesn't know how much the private sector charges ships, she doesn't expect much pushback from cruise lines about the city's new rates.
It's been brewing for long enough. We've been talking about it for long enough that they know it's coming, I think, and they've known that it's coming for a few years.
The additional revenue collected will go into the city's Docks and Harbors Enterprise Fund. Carl Yucatil, the city's port director, said there are fewer restrictions on how the city uses the money compared to some of the other fees that the city charges cruise ships.
They're not limited like the so-called head taxes, the port development fee or the marine passenger fee, so it can be used for other purposes.
Marine passenger fees are what the city charges for each cruise ship passenger who comes into port. That money must be spent on projects that are connected to the visitor industry. That's because of a settlement agreement with Cruise Lines International Association Alaska, which put limits on how the city uses the funds. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
Alaska lawmakers overrode Governor Mike Dunleavy's veto of a high-profile education bill yesterday morning. As Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports, the bill calls for a more than 10% increase in baseline funding for school districts, but it's still unclear whether districts will get any of the money lawmakers approved.
Increasing the so-called base student allocation was the top priority this year for the bipartisan Democrat-heavy coalitions controlling the House and Senate. Lawmakers have tried three times in the past 2 years to boost basic education funding, and Dunleavy has vetoed each one. The last two times lawmakers tried overriding his vetoes, they fell short. But this time was different.
I think people had the humility to listen to the public who have been crying for additional education funding now for several years.
Senate Majority Leader Kathy Geisel, an Anchorage Republican.
They had the humility to listen today and the courage to do the right thing.
Legislators voted 46-14 to override Dunleavy's veto of House Bill 57. That's six more than the 40 they needed. Every member of the bipartisan Democrat-heavy coalitions voted for it, as did 11 Republicans in the minority. It's the first time lawmakers have overridden a governor's veto since the Palin administration. Senator Lukey Tobin, an Anchorage Democrat, says that's because lawmakers found a compromise that many of them could agree on.
I think the vote that was just put up on the board there showcased that we did great work negotiating good faith with legislators from both bodies and across the aisle.
Lawmakers ultimately settled on a $700 boost to basic per student funding. That's a 10% bump to the so-called base student allocation. The compromise bill also includes a ban on student cell phone use, subject to the decisions of the local school board. There are also some changes to charter school laws aimed at making them easier to start and maintain, a priority for the governor. Lawmakers also included another item from the governor's wish list with a twist. Dunleavy proposed an incentive program for school districts that would offer them $450 for each young student who reads at grade level or demonstrates improvement. But with the state facing a fiscal crunch with oil prices in decline, Minority Republican Senator Rob Yount from Wasilla proposed linking the grants to a tax bill aimed at out-of-state companies. Additional money from the tax proposal would go towards another Dunleavy priority, career and technical education. Yount supported the override.
We all owe it to our voters to keep as much money as possible flowing in our economy compared to Washington, D.C.'s as possible, and that's a simple apportionment issue, and that's what it is. And if that money funds reading grants and career and technical education, then I say that's a huge win.
But Dunleavy vetoed the education bill on Monday, saying its reforms didn't go far enough and that linking the reading grants to the tax proposal was improper. Representative Rebecca Schwanke, a Republican from Taslina, echoed Dunleavy shortly after voting against an override. She says she tried to get more of the governor's priorities into this year's education bills, but without success.
The majority had no interest in moving on any of those policy things that would truly move the needle for our kids. So I stand with the governor. I think that he's on the right track.
School leaders say they're heartened by the vote. Josh Gill is a charter school principal in Bethel.
I think it will dramatically impact being able to plan, get quality educators into our state, being able to plan to have small classroom sizes. All those things, research shows the longer educators stay in the community, the more beneficial it is for students and student outcomes.
But here's the thing. The fact that lawmakers overcame Dunleavy's veto of the education bill does not mean that schools will automatically get more money next year. The veto override simply changes the funding formula in state law. But the Alaska Constitution gives the governor the power to reduce or eliminate individual line items in the state budget. And Dunleavy said Monday he may veto all or part of the appropriation that would actually fund the education funding increase. We won't know for several weeks whether he actually does it. If he does, that would throw districts into chaos, says Kenai Peninsula Borough School District Superintendent Clayton Holland. He also leads a statewide superintendents association.
A mid-year, a mid-June, end of June decision, could really set our world on fire, and not just here in the Kenai, but across the state.
Lawmakers could seek to override the line item veto, but the threshold is much higher, at three-quarters of the House and Senate. And an override vote, if it's necessary, likely wouldn't happen until next January. With help from Tim Rocky in Anchorage, reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 50 degrees and cloudy. This is KTOO.